Now, when I saw that, when I was setting up the interview, I saw media trust and I thought it was an oxymoron. But tell me what it is.
That's a joke we maintain as well. The media trust is in part there to purvey that most enterprises today are actually digital publishers. Many of them don't realize it, though. Our job at the media trust is to enable those companies to secure digital assets. We do that by monitoring them from the client side or visiting them as if we're a user at very high capacity.
Interesting.
That enables us to unearth violations, find malware, and then inform them so that they can keep their websites and really the consumer experience.
Now, you're saying you're visiting at a high capacity. It sounds like an attack. It's not an attack, but it's... You're just kind of testing the resiliency of that network and that site and their information, see how it holds up under public...
So we're not a DDoS attack.
Right, right.
We're monitoring them in particular to unearth and identify all of the third-party code that are rendering on consumers. So I can ask you this question. When a typical consumer visits a typical website, what portion of the source code that's rendering on that customer's device would you say is owned and operated by the company that actually is running that website?
I'd say not very much, because I get all these third-party things popping up here and push this and do that, and especially when you read those articles. It's not an article, it's clickbait. And the article is in between dozens and dozens of photos of other things that's hard for me to follow. So that's a challenge the publisher has, because he wants to get the information out, but I guess to monetize it, you have to have these other things in there.
Right, so we find on average, whether it's an ad-supported news site, a large e-commerce platform, that generally around 80% of the code that serves onto a customer that's visiting the site is third and then fourth and fifth party code.
80%?
Yes.
Wow.
And so where that leaves us today is that typically in cyber, the engineers in charge of the websites are utilizing secure coding practices, which is good. They're utilizing AppSec, which is good as well. But that those two practices together add up to protecting around 20% of the consumer experience. 80% of the source code that's rendering on the consumer is not covered by those traditional internet security practices.
What types of threats have you seen over the last few years in particular? So I'll give you an example. Someone receives a photo, they right-click to save it, and there's actually malicious code embedded. Could you give us a few examples of the threats and malware you've seen that...
So everything that you would see inside of an email security conversation is going to be true with third-party code on the web as well. The three primary attackers using that vector are organized crime, state actors, and then hacktivists. So you'll see every form of malware, whether it's CryptoWall, another form of ransomware, it could be a keystroke logger. We also see significant numbers of bots. So getting back to the DDoS attack, DDoS bots are created via third-party code, dropping additional code onto the customer's browser. So certainly those are the types of attacks we see. That would include phishing as well. There's a lot of inside baseball, so companies that are using third-party code to get clickbait, to have to get paid within the existing channels. But I think the idea is that anything a bad guy can do via code on the internet, they're applying to third-party code on websites as well.
Now, you made an interesting comment at the beginning, and my little Security Guy TV brain went, bing, I got to ask him about that. You said most people, everybody's most publishers are a cyber publisher, but they don't know it.
They're a digital publisher.
Digital publisher, but they don't know it.
Yes.
Yeah, explain that. That's interesting.
Okay. So brick-and-mortar companies prior to e-commerce, think of a large travel company, hotel or airline. If you ask them what they do for a living, they're going to say, we rent out hotel rooms, we take people across the country on an airplane. Today, however, a significant portion of their business is done via the web.
Right.
If you ask them, are you a digital publisher, they think of Yahoo or AOL or CNN. When you look at their website, so they're not going to answer the question in the affirmative.
Right.
When you look at their website and you look at the third-party code that runs there, they actually look just like CNN and just like Yahoo.
That's
right?
True.
It's the same companies that are running there. So they are digital publishers. The federal government in the United States is a massive digital publisher, but very few people within the actual government think of themselves that way.
Yeah. Now, since they don't approach it as thinking they are a digital publisher at the onset to set it up, do they come to the table... with a handicap, because they're not thinking, I better lock this site down, I better make sure I got the protocols in place, or do they say, we're just American Airlines, who's going to bother us? If you're not thinking that way, you might be more prone to an attack.
Right. We see a major mindset change starting to happen. If you look back, most CISOs, chief information officers, are afraid of everyone's website but their own. So they look out in the world and they're very, very concerned about where their employees are visiting. And they don't realize that their sites are just like the sites that they're afraid of. So as that mindset starts to change, they need to take a deeper look at what website security means. They're being told by their AppSec providers that their website is secure. They're being told by the companies that they consult with to do secure coding practices that their website is secure. And it's true, 20% of their site is secure, but 80% is not. And as they start to realize that their consumer experience is dictated by many, many companies that are not them, they'll realize that they need to monitor them as well.
What's your vision in terms of transforming that 80% to closer to 20 down to zero? What can your company specifically do?
So we're a 12-year-old company. We've been doing this for a very long time.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, so I think the sea change is starting now. It's really been over the last year or two as companies are realizing that that their third-party code is contributing to a non-secure environment. So what we're doing is building a network of those vendors and third parties that really run the back end of the internet. They certainly are serving the predominance of code on the web and enabling connections from the publisher, the digital publisher, out to those companies so that when we identify problems, they're able to notify and then fix those problems in near real time. So identifying problems on websites is actually quite simple for us at this stage. Remediating them continues to be the challenge because there are so many issues the typical publisher doesn't have a resource to execute there. What we also see is that new initiatives from regulators like GDPR, COPPA compliance in the U.S., as those are translated to pure digital environments, you're going to see companies forced to take control over this piece. And as they do, the entire internet is actually going to become more secure.
Now, you identify a client's website is problematic. Don't a lot of these guys hire the ABC website company to make the beautiful website? Do you have to work with them to make the correction, and do you get pushback on that?
We do, and I think the but part of the problem is that for 15, 20 years, large enterprises have been instructed that their websites are secure if their owned and operated code is secure. And I think it's getting to the place where they realize that that's not the entire kind of exposure to the customer.
Right.
And once you get them past that point, it becomes simpler. But I do think that it's connecting all of the parties that make up that consumer experience. That is the critical aspect of this in order to make both their digital ecosystem, meaning our client's digital ecosystem, but as well as the larger digital ecosystem a more secure place.
Are you one of the few companies that does this?
So we're certainly the creator of this idea.
Oh, wow.
There are companies that are definitely paying more attention to the idea as we move along. But I think the general theme at companies with Black Hat still is to protect their own ecosystem internally, so
right.
What's running inside of their ecosystem. They don't realize that their digital assets are exposing their customers to problems as well. And so I think as that starts to change, you're going to see more and more companies coming into the space. I also think that GDPR, there's around 30 companies that are presenting GDPR solutions today. Many of them have been around for 6 to 12 months. I kind of question the value that they may be bringing to the table.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to see more companies joining this idea.
That's a fair comment. Chris Olson, what keeps you awake at night? What do you worry about?
We're worried about our customers not fully embracing the idea that their website is made up of 80% third-party code and not being able to take advantage of our services effectively when there is an issue. I think that's the biggest problem. One of the reasons I sleep well is because I assume that most enterprises aren't yet taking this into consideration and are not yet controlling it. So I know that third-party code on the web via the consumer-facing websites that we all visit every day have problems. And by knowing that, I kind of feel okay.
You feel good because you got new customers coming every day.
Right.
Excellent.
Good.
Chris Olson, MediaTrust.com here on SecurityGuideTV.com at Black Hat 2017. Chris, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much. Fascinating
subject.
Thank you. It's
a new one to me.
Thank you.
I think it's brilliant. And good luck to you guys.
Great, thanks.
All right, back in a minute on Security Guy TV.